am a creature of habit. I wear very nearly the same thing every day to work. Very nearly the same thing every day I am not working. I have basically two uniforms. When I love a song or a new album, I can listen to it over and over and over, loving it just as much over and over and over. I drive the same route to work, stop in the same coffee shop at around the same time, and get the same drink hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times now. Grocery shopping is an automatic process in which I'm only partially consciously flowing through the familiar paths of the very same grocery store. And so something shattered inside of me when I learned of the construction. The Hannafords near me is under construction, and they did not ask. And not like some corner of the store that they're revamping, an entire reorganization in which entire portions of the store disappear or move overnight. Upon hearing the news, I was broken. There's just so much going on in the world right now, so much change, so much challenge. I couldn't fathom that my grocery shopping experience was also going to become complicated. So I thought I would abandon them for another. I believe I might have even said the words, "You are dead to me, Hannafords." I tried a few stores, more than a little frustrated to need to explore and learn new pathways and patterns. So finally, partially out of laziness, you could say, but I would like to think more so out of profound shift in mindfulness, I decided that Hannafords and its unnecessary and inconvenient transformation would become just another teacher. So now I go through my same pathways as if everything was just as it should be, and I'm surprised to find a gaping absence of shelves where the fizzy water once was, or that there's a tarp where the milk once was. It's an adventure every time. And with a few deep breaths, I open to yet more change, and I usually find what I need, especially now. It matters how we receive change and challenge. It matters that we remain open and awake, because the stakes are so high. I love these words from poet Maya Angelou. It's an excerpt from an inaugural poem she shared in 1993, a few presidents ago. She writes, "Today the rock cries out to us, clearly, forcefully, come. You may stand upon my back and face your distant destiny. I will give you no more hiding place down here. You have crouched too long in the bruising darkness, have lain too long face down in ignorance, your mouths spilling words armed for slaughter. The rock cries out today, you may stand on me, but do not hide your face. Across the wall of the world, a river sings a beautiful song. Come rest here by my side. The river sings on and on. So say the Asian, the Hispanic, the Jew, the African, the Native American, the Sioux, the Catholic, the Muslim, the French, the Greek, the Irish, the rabbi, the priest, the Sikh, the gay, the straight, the preacher, the privileged, and the homeless, the teacher. They hear, they all hear. Come to me. Here beside the river, plant yourself beside me. Here beside the river, here on the pulse of this fine day, you may have the courage to look out upon me, the rock, the river, the tree, your country. here on the pulse of this new day, you may have the grace to look up and out and into your sister's eyes, into your brother's face, your country, and say simply, very simply, with hope, good morning. This feels so beautiful and so true. We are called now to come out of darkness, to climb up and look out on our distant destiny with courage and with care. Today is Palm Sunday, the day, as the story goes, that Jesus came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, knowing that he was being watched, knowing that he was in danger, knowing that people in power wanted him dead, and still he came. And he did not sneak in. He did not hold clandestine meetings in basement or back room. Instead, he rode into town, drawing a crowd. People coming to listen, people who were suffering, people who were afraid, people who were held down under the rule of an oppressor, people who came and were inspired and reminded that there was another way. That even in the midst of that hard time, even in the powerlessness and the pain, even in the suffering they were enduring at the hands of Rome, there was another way, a path of love and justice, which was open to them, a path of passion and purpose, a path of connection and care. And this is why I love this holiday, this beginning of the Easter story. I love the courage Jesus showed, that he answered the call, that he was so committed to his message of love and his quest for justice that he knew who he was and what he was there for. And the compelling thing to me, especially in this month of transformation, is how simple it often is, how graceful and how simple it can be to remember that courage. And we need this remembering. Like Lauren said before, just this week, the missiles launched in Syria, the retaliation for the horrific chemical weapons attack. In Sweden, again, a truck used as a weapon attacking civilians, and so much more. Many of you know the president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, Peter Morales, as well as two other colleagues in leadership of our denominational headquarters, have resigned from their positions amidst controversy around hiring practices at the UUA around racial equality. There have been lots of letters and conversations online, many gatherings of religious leaders, of people of color, many beginnings of fruitful dialogue and proposals. To be sure, the Unitarian Universalist Association, just like so many other institutions, can do better in reflecting on and improving where institutionalized racism exists within its system. The conversation which is opening is pointed in a good direction, and I am confident that there will be positive change. And as far as South Church goes, we too have work to do. We have had many circles of people who have wrestled with questions of racial justice, both as part of the church and in their outside lives, and this is a great beginning. Even before the events at the UUA, we were planning a number of efforts, hosting a training and workshops in the coming weeks, hosting a gathering of South Church people of color and their families, and exploring with our leadership ways that we can continue to grow this crucial corner of our ministry together. And when large questions like this come up, when we rise to the occasions like this, it can be easy to be daunted, to feel the enormity of all that is asked of us, the complexity of the path before us, it can be easy to shut down. But again, it can be just as easy, with a slight shift of our heart, to breathe into deep possibility and change. To remember that these large, complicated questions are precisely why we are here. To remember that this business that we are about, this spiritual growth, which for me means diving fearlessly into the process of questioning and questing, or if not quite fearlessly, with just as much fear as we happen to have at any given moment, but with even more love. love for ourselves, love for our neighbors, love for this world, love for this more just and connected, this more beautiful and joyful world that we are building. And this sweet world will not be built out of fear. It will not be built with timid hands and closed eyes, but rather with the very widest open eyes we can muster, with the steadiest and most care-filled hands we can muster. And it starts right here, in this time together. Here in the midst of all this, in the midst of this world, in the midst of these lives, in the midst of this time, we stop. Most of us put down our phones. Don't think, I don't see you. We stop. We gather to remember who we most deeply want to be, what is most true. We gather here to reorient ourselves from fear to love, from scarcity to abundance, from doubt to hope. And we say, hallelujah. We say hallelujah for the songs within us, the songs straining at the edges of our lives, longing to be sung. We say hallelujah because even in the midst of these disorienting days, with so much change and so much challenge, that there are constant beyond the blurbs and bits, constants beyond the clickbait headlines, there are abiding truths which we can feel and return to here together. We say hallelujah because our shared story is not yet completed, the final chapters neither read nor written, but rather we can still choose our way. We can still change the course of our shared lives. We can still be and become what we most deeply desire. We say hallelujah because we are held and we are loved. And no matter how far we have fallen, no matter how distant we have strayed, with a simple turn of our hearts, we can remember. We can return to that love, feel that love again sweeping in all around us, that love which has always been there and will always be there. We say hallelujah that here upon this rock, with this singing and this river, we might face our distant destiny, no longer crouching, but with courage looking into one another's eyes on this good morning, saying hallelujah. Because there is strength within us, there is love around us, and there is this path before us, and our will is clear. We say hallelujah and amen.